Everybody, welcome to the math physics seminar. This week we'll have Shijinori Nakatsuka from University of Alberta. His title is Building Blocks of Double Algebras and Duality. Please.
Thank you very much for introducing me, and I'm really happy to be here in this institute where important things was found by Davide Gaiotto and Mikhail Rabchuk on the duality of double algebras. And today's talk is one of such a consequence for representation theory. Okay, and my talk is based on several works that I did with many people, Krutik, Fasquelle, Genla, Linshaw, and Sato in the last 5 years. Okay, so let me start with introducing double algebras. They are vertex algebras, so they are algebra of symmetry appearing in 2D CFT, and so necessarily they extend the Virasoro-Li algebra, which is given by this formula. And in practice, they are obtained from a fundamental one, that is affine Kac-Moody, through BRST reductions. This is a vertex algebraic analog of quantum Hamiltonian reductions, and which are parameterized by the choices of nilpotent elements inside Lie algebra G. And they just depend on the nilpotent orbit, which is a equivalence between the adjoint actions of the Lie group G. So sometimes I will say that they associate with certain nilpotent orbit. And another way to say to double algebra is that it's a vertex algebra analog of its cousin called finite double algebras, which quantizing the coordinate link of a certain Poisson manifold called Slattery slice inside the algebra G. Why they are important? One explanation is that they can reconstruct all the known superconformal algebras appearing in the physics, that is n equal 1, n equal 2, and so on, super Virasoro-Li algebra, extending the first example of Virasoro by adding some ferromionic field. So the representation theory is very fundamental and important. But nevertheless, not much is known so far. And today's talk, I want to, understand this kind of things using certain dualities. So what are the dualities of between W algebras? They are found first by the regular nilpotent orbit, that is the largest nilpotent orbit. And the duality is isomorphism of vertex algebras between two types of Lie algebras connected by Langrand's duality. That is, SL goes to SL, but SO goes to SP, for example. And this duality is a quantization of or deformation of the description of the center of affine Kac-Moody Lie algebra. So that is, at very specific point called critical level, the center is very huge, and it gives us a function space over the so-called opers, which are certain connections valued in the Langrand's dual of G over the puncture disk. A very elemental example is that in the fine SL2 case, it recovers a function space over the Sturm-Liouville operators over the punctured disk. So as I said, so today's talk is a kind of continuation of this duality found by Gaiotto and Rabchuk by using certain relation to 4D theory. And this is precisely a duality between hook type W superalgebras, and I want to talk about its application to the representation theories and how much we can understand beyond such special W algebras. So this is a kind of plan of today's talk. So let me give you two more fundamental examples of W algebras. So if we start with SL2 and take the regular nilpotent orbit, which is just a non-zero nilpotent element inside 2 times 2 matrix, then we will get Virasoro algebra, which has this operator expansion. And in this case, the Virasoro is uniquely determined by its central charge, which appearing in the C2K. And K is the level for the affine Kac-Moody. And so we can write down the central charge by the level K for the affine Kac-Moody in a very specific equation. As you can see very easily, this central charge doesn't change under flipping K plus 2 and its duals, its inverse. We have an isomorphism of between Virasoro algebra by creating this relation of levels. The next example is a bit complicated, which we can find in SL3. And so in this case, we have two generators, the central charge. One is Virasoro, and the central charge looks very similar, which is full central charge doesn't change if we flip K plus 2, 3 by its inverse. And W3OP is looks so awful. But actually, this is not so awful. So, so in the Lie algebras, we have so-called Jacobian identities, right? And for the vertex algebras, we have a very similar notion. And if we impose a Jacobian identity for this SL3 W algebras, then the final W3OPE, which looks so awful, completely determined by the above two easy OPEs. So even if it looks so awful, we can just take a look at the central charge and conclude that they are still isomorphic. So this is a kind of two fundamental examples of duality between W algebras. The Feigen-Frenkel duality that I presented just before is a generalization of this phenomenon for all the type simple Lie algebras. How to prove is rewriting just OP is so awful, so we rewrite these algebras inside a simpler vertex algebra called Heisenberg vertex algebra. And we have certain linear operators which characterize these algebras, and just comparing these two data. And this is not so, how to say, unfamiliar thing. And indeed, it's a vertex algebra analog or very famous one in the enveloping algebra of finite algebra G. So that is the center of the enveloping algebra. If we restrict the values to the Kao term, then it is uniquely determined its value. So this map is injective, and the image is characterized by the invariance by the actions of wide group. The Feigen-Frenkel duality between W algebras can be said that if we go down to the finite analog, which is a center of Lie algebras, which are realized in the very similar way inside the enveloping algebra of H, Kaltan, whose image is a wild group invariant. Because Kaltan and wild group does not depending on the Lagrange duality, we have a very explicit isomorphism in the bottom. And vertex algebra isomorphism is a kind of upgrade of this easy fact. And let me just add one or a few comments on type A, where we can understand a bit more easily. So in this case, it's better to work with GL. So let me just replace SL by GL. And in this case, the image can be write down very explicitly by using expansions of order n differential operators with field value like this. And if we expand these things, so wi are the generators, then we find that the leading term is indeed coming from the y group invariant of Cartan, which is a symmetric function of n variables. And if we look at things, we just see the OPEs of W3, which looks awful. But if we look at it in terms of this free field, then we can find a very nice structure that W3 generates W3, W4, W5, et cetera. So this gives us a weak generator of this W algebra. And
these XIs are Heisenberg.
Yeah, this is a Heisenberg field corresponding to the diagonal matrix.
Thanks.
Thank you. And so, just as I said, they are generated by two fields. One is Virazoro, and the other one is W3 element. And indeed, such a vertex algebra can be obtained uniformly by adding these three, these generators for infinitely many times. So this is a vertex algebraic analog of the symmetric functions, which we can obtain by the inverse limit of symmetric polynomials of n variables. And if we look at it in vertex algebra, then it depends on two parameters, central charge and certain other parameter appearing in certain OPE. So this vertex algebra is known in physics for many years, but proving explicitly the existence, we need a lot of calculations. It was done by Andrew Linshaw maybe 7 years ago. Yep. More precisely to say that they give us a PBW basis. So we have a kind of universality constructions.
So it's like there's some limit which is universal algebra, and it's a unique deformation of that kind of thing?
Not really. So to characterize this algebra is we have a PBW basis for W2, W3, so on. Generated by W3, which gives W3, W4, W6, etc., and a certain automorphism coming from plus minus one, which is just changing a degree, just order n gives us minus one to the n. Then this algebra is uniquely characterized. Yeah, thank you very much. I didn't expect that this kind of very precise question I have. Yeah, thank you. So in type A case, just looking at these two parameters, then we will get isomorphism of W algebra because of this property. OK, so this is a regular W algebra case and at the level of algebras. So what we can say about representations? For this, it's nice to think first for what kind of representation we have for free. So please remind yourself that W algebra is obtained by a Hamiltonian reduction of affine Kac-Moody, and this constructions goes on for any representations of affine Kac-Moody. And indeed, we have a functor from the representations for affine Kac-Moody. And if we look at a better subcategory, which is G integral representations. Then, as a starting point, we have a braided tensor category found by Kajian and Lustig. And what's nice about this is that this functor is exact in general. Sorry? Oh, if we, how to say, basically, it keeps all the embedding between modules. Except sometimes some module goes to zero, but up to that, every thing is preserved.
So it's not isomorphism?
I will say it's isomorphism indeed. but this is a bit, difficult statement to prove. But yeah, every nice thing happens here, actually. Thank you.
Can I ask you if you know what is the, if you give me the finite analog of the statement of this functor?
Everything is very, rephrased in finite W algebras. So we have exactly the same procedure called BRC reductions. And Lie algebra representation is just enveloping algebra representations. So we can do that, doing this exactly the same way.
And it's also exact?
If we start with suitable representation subcategory, as we did here.
Thanks.
So if we take the regular nilpotent orbit, then we have one such a BRC reduction from Kajian-Lustig category, but starting with the dual side of descriptions of W algebras, we still have another source of such nice representations. So we have two sources of representation like that. And the theorem says that if we consider a certain nice representation category, that is, that will be semi-simple and moreover modular tensor category at a specific levels and et cetera, then we can consider the fusion ring of this representation category. And we find that indeed these two source of representations are responsible for all the data. So in the statement, we have a tensor product of two fusion rings coming from affine Katz-Moody, which is coupled with certain actions, which are invertible objects of the tensor categories. So we can still see the duality of W algebras at the level of fusion rings in that way. Do you have any questions so far? Is it okay? Right, okay. So let's go on. Sorry?
Is naturally the center, right, of SLN?
Oh, sorry, I don't understand.
The ZN is like the center of SLN, right?
Oh, set of simple currents. Oh, sorry?
The vacuum.
Okay. So.
Say, you could have written a similar format for any form, right? For any semi-simple. Yeah, you need to use a selection.
Oh, actually, we can, yeah, simply rest is a bit important here.
Yes.
And if we go to non-simply rest case, then conjecturally, this will be replaced by the fusion rings of twisted affine Lie algebras. But we need to work.
Simply rest, like, look to the center instead of the end, right?
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, yes, exactly. Thank you very much. Yes. Let's go on beyond regular W algebras. So regular algebra corresponding to the blue, and I want to discuss about red partitions, which correspond to a choice of an important element for SLN type W algebras. Okay, so in the, how to say, historical order, we find another examples in 70s maybe. So this is a constructions of n equal 2 super Virasoro algebra by using affine Kac-Moody SL2. This is a regular W algebra of associated to the super algebra SL2/1. And we have a bunch of fields and complicated OPEs, so I don't like to write it down here. But upshot is that this n equal 2 super Virasoro can be realized inside the tensor product of affine Kac-Moody times lattice vertex super algebra, or BC ghost in the literature. And this image, so G plus minus is a key person for this the super algebra, vertex super algebra, and we can just realize these two generators by using E and F and B and C, which is weak generators for SL2 and this BC ghost. And image is characterized by the all the field commuting with certain Heisenberg vertex subalgebra. So after we realize it, but just taking the again the commuting field of the Heisenberg field, we get an isomorphism of two subalgebras of different W algebras. And the important thing maybe is that the relations of the levels goes on in a very similar way. That is, just level shifted by the dual Coxeter number product goes to 1. So just I want to say that this is our next example in this line. This example is generalized by Feige and Semikhatov around 2010 as a conjecture that affine SLN, SL2 must be replaced by the next nilpotent orbit, that is subregular nilpotent orbit. And then the partner for them is regular W algebra or least superalgebra SLN/1. And the first theorem is that it's now a bit small example, says that the previous constructions of n equal 2 super Virasoro goes on in this setting. So we can include this as a family of Feigen Frenkel type duality. And the important thing is now that found by Guyot and Lapchuk, maybe around 5-6 years ago, by using the vertex algebra at the corner. So it's now very typical that vertex algebras sometimes appear at the boundaries of higher dimensional QFTs. The classical example is 2D versus Zmino-Witten model, which is affine Kac-Moody, can find out at the boundary of 3D Chan-Simons theory. And what they observed is that more complicated things, that is, affine subalgebra of certain W superalgebra, which commute with affine current inside it, can be found by suitably changing this kind of boundary conditions. So the startup is just 4D theory with three gauge groups and talking to each other by using certain boundary conditions. Then we will get 3D Chan-Simons theory at the boundaries, and these two theories are coupled at the 2D junctions in the center. And they found that it is realized by the Fuch type W superalgebra and takes a affine coset. The upshot of this construction is that the boundary conditions themselves has a certain symmetry. And if we take a nice element, which is order 3, then if we apply this a change of boundary condition, then the figure doesn't change at all, just rotating the numbers and coupling twisting parameter plus psi. So we should have a, just a second, please. Yes. So we should, this operation should preserve the vertex algebra at appearing at the corner. This gives us a triarity phenomena for this type of W algebras. And indeed, this kind of things, as argued in the paper, that we can prove it by using certain universal W algebras. And it is done by Thomas Krutik and Andrew Liu Xiu a few years ago. So this notation is very absent, abstract. So let me give you two examples. So this is two type A W superalgebras whose nilpotent element can be taken so that the corresponding partition look like a Fuch in terms of the diagram, like 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, like this. And this algebra has a bit special structure. So we have a fine SGLM inside it, and we have a bunch of commuting fields, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. So it looks like, indeed, a regular W algebra type A. And the last one is also very simple. We have two sets of fields, which gives us a basis of natural representation and its DL. So this type of algebra is very simple to describe. And we can find similar things in also symplectic cases. And note the symbol of A or X coming from what kind of Lie algebras we have. So we say type D because we can find out SO to M inside these two W algebras. So this is an isomorphism, very nice, between two different W algebras. And we want to upgrade, or we want to say what we can deduce for the representations of W algebras themselves. And indeed, Feigen-Semikhatov case, we can reconstruct all the W algebras because we started with coset construction. So let's take a look a bit in this example. Why not decompose into Heisenberg? Because we use Heisenberg fields to get the isomorphism of subalgebras. So this is a branching rule between in terms of the Heisenberg current and its coset. What we can learn from this coset construction is that the multiplicity space that I wrote here by Carly C are indeed all isomorphic under this duality. So what we can learn from here is that the difference of these two W superalgebras are not on the anything about the Heisenberg coset, but the dressing of Heisenberg coset, Heisenberg vertex algebra themselves. So in other words, we can ask if we replace the Heisenberg modules, then we will get the other side of W superalgebra. And we can indeed realize these operations by using certain cohomology for loop Lie algebras. It is called relative semi-Hitt cohomology and satisfy certain pairing conditions like that. So if we want to replace one side of Fock module by the other, we just pair a dual of one side and coupled with the other side, and just take all the sums. Then formally, we can recover the other side of W algebras at the level of modules. But important point here is that this very artificial gluing we can upgrade to vertex algebras. So in this case, this artificial object turned out to be just a BC Gauss times Heisenberg Lie algebra. So we can recover by using this procedure. So let's use this picture for higher rank cases. So in type A, we have this pair of W superalgebras. Here we have GLM inside, but we don't have any coset construction, so we cannot say anything about the coefficient space. But important thing is that we have a gluing object, which is called shifted Kaya differential operators, realized by Moriwaki a few years ago. And they are a bit or generalizations of chiral differential operators, which is an analog of a global differential operator of Lie group G. And we have very similar procedures, a pairing constraint for modules, affine Kac-Moody modules appearing in this type of W algebras. And so we can do very similar constructions. So just taking a pair, just dual of the representation, affine Kac-Moody representations appearing in one side of W algebras, and pair it with the other side of affine Kac-Moody modules, and we take a sum, then we find shifted CDO, and just take the cohomology functor to find out the other side of W algebras. So again, we find the reconstruction theorem of W superalgebras in general. So this is a kind of starting point to say something about the representations on W superalgebra side, which is known at all. And why it's good is that this procedure, we can replace it the algebras by arbitrary modules. And we can gain a module for W superalgebras in the opposite side. And actually, this procedure, we can do it for intertwining operators, which gives the data of tensor product in the Braid tensor category. But the price to pay is that we need to slightly restrict the category in a suitable one. So we use certain nice representations, so we need to work on that representation category. So that is G-integral representations. So it's a technical detail, so let me skip and give you an answer. So in almost all cases, we can find out we can reconstruct the other side of representation category from the other. And I did this kind of procedure by many papers, by many collaborators, and the starting point was type A that I wrote in the above with Thomas Gendler and Sato, and I did a few more cases with others. So it's very nice because started with the isomorphism of affine coset, we reconstruct W algebras, and we can further say that all the representations and fusion datum are all naturally equivalent. So this is a very nice point of view for Fuch type W algebras. And indeed, we can find systematically about a rational super CFT by using relying on the rational CFTs. And we can determine all the data like classification, simple module, and et cetera. And this construction is a bit cute because we can also recover a character formula, which we cannot do at the level of categories, but our functor is a cohomology functor, so we can just compute the characters. And here we find that many things happen for supersite, like higher rank generalizations of upper like sum appears, many Q deformations of classical identity appears. So what I wanted to say here is that if we start with a non-supersite, we usually find representation whose character we associate Schur functions. And if we go to the supersite, we have a certain evaluation of these Schur functions. And what's funny is that in the supersite, it must be fermionic because it's W superalgebras. And indeed, these specializations is very famous in the special functions. And it has a product formula by linear terms called Fuch contents formula. So this kind of, well-known result from special functions, we can reproduce, or we can say more, by using these duality pictures. Yeah, this is, I think, one of the cool applications in the other area. And the other remark maybe is that we can say a lot about W algebras, so why not we can do finite W algebras? And indeed, in the non-supersite, this type of finite W algebra is very well known, called infinitesimal Cherdonic algebras. So we should have a certain nice duality between these two, this class of associative algebras. But it is not worked out so far. The other one is that in the original work of Gayat and Ravchak, they did for a bit more general case, starting with W superalgebras, and they derived the duality between W superalgebras. And it's still hard to prove for us, but there is one very nice technology called inverse Hamiltonian reductions, which will be the next half of my talk, might be applicable to prove this very important triality. And it gives us many important phenomena for representations. So yes, let's leaving the world of Fuch type W algebras, let's add one more young diagram, which is 2-2, which is not non-Fuch type in SL4 case. Okay, so in the, physics side, everything can seem to be realized by starting with more complicated boundary conditions. So we started with Y-shaped boundary conditions, and if we glue these Y-shaped boundary conditions a lot, then we should have a more complicated W-type algebras. And in the work of Prochazka and Lapchuk, they argue a lot. And for example, in two gluing of Y shape, we will get a bit complicated W algebras. So in this case, an important thing is that this part is Fuch type W algebras, and we take a Fuch type Hamiltonian reduction and take the affine coset. And why don't we expect that this gives us a general W algebras? And our proposal with Thomas, Fasker, and Linshaw in preparation is that we can identify these algebras by a literary W algebra in type A by starting with general partitions. And the precise formula is like this. And it was noticed in finite W algebras a bit earlier by Lozev and his student, Genla and Juliet in other side recently. And so this is a kind of vertex algebraic upgrade of this previous works. And this is very nice because we can learn a lot about general W algebras. Like the second statement is just a reformulation of the first one, saying that we can reproduce W algebras one by one using affine coset of Fuch type W algebras. So So if, for example, if we do it a lot for SL7, this conjecture says that 2-3-3 partition we can realize by using extensions of three affine coset of hook type W algebra.
Sorry.
Yep.
The thing about this, like the parabolic
induction for Wakimoto modules? No, and it's curious is that it's the opposite side. So Wakimoto parabolic is something like in this line, but we are doing in this line. That's why it didn't have been noticed for a long time. Thank you. Okay, and this conjecture is honestly true up to SL5 by direct computation. So for example, in SL4, we can realize 2-2 partitions by using this diagram, and SL5, 3,2, we can realize these things. And also, we have 2-2-1 in SL5, and we can do very similarly. So how to prove these kind of things is indeed an inverse Hamiltonian reduction. And so it's inverting the quantum Hamiltonian reduction, which gives us a W algebra in general. What it means is that reminding ourselves that a nilpotent orbit has a certain order using a closure relations of nilpotent orbit. If the two partitions are related in that closure relation, then they should be related by using certain free field. And free fields are experimentally found in several chiral differential operators, like BC ghost, which is additive group, and multiplicative analog, which is called pi. And this is a well-known examples. First found by Semikhatov, we can realize affine SL2 inside Virasoro time something, and so on and so forth. And the best result so far is that all the hook type W algebras we can relate one by one. So this is proven this year by Philly in University of Melbourne. And so this procedure works for all the hook type. So why don't we use this procedure for the other type of W algebras? So in the blue lines in SL4, they are all Fuch type, and the red part is the only non-Fuch type. And if we decompose this algebra, very explicitly, we can find affine in one side and Virasoro in one side, whose levels are exactly the same, and several commuting fields, which has the same parameter. And indeed, so by using the relation of affine SL2 and Virasoro, we can relate these two W algebras, recovering the iterated reductions of a Fuch type, giving us the non-Fuch type W algebras. So why we care about this inverse Hamiltonian reduction, which is indeed, relation between W algebras, but originally it's coming from other motivations to find a better representation theory of affine Kac-Moody. And they are called Dirac high-speed modules. And the beta category means that we're leaving out the category O and something better inside the usual module category. Why? One motivation is coming from some notorious phenomena in admissible representations. This representation is a generalization of integer-level affine Kac-Moody, which gives us a rational CFT. And here we have a very naive integrability conditions. But if we pose a weaker integrability condition, that is integrability for the certain appropriate subalgebras by replacing to the z to the z squared and so on, we will find a representation called admissible. Why it's nice is that we still have a modular invariance for these representations. Even if we don't give us a rational CFT, we have a nice character, nice modules which give us a modular transformation between the characters. Why this happens is indeed coming from the rationality of W algebras by taking the BRC reductions. So starting with Kajian-Lustig category, which is the best category, we have a subjection to a certain subcategory of W algebras, which behaves nice. And in the W algebra side, we have a rationality, so character has a modular invariance. And the modularity of character for affine Katsumori is a shadow of this modularity. So a natural guess is that why don't we start with a bigger category so that we can gain all the W algebra modules. So this is a remedy for admissible representations, to go beyond the category O. And for example, we can get this kind of representation by using inverse Hamiltonian reductions. So important thing is that admissible representation we can realize by using a rational Virasoro times certain free field algebras. And of course, we get a Kajian-Lustig object, but we have Verma type modules and so on and so forth. And they are all obtained from rational W algebra times free field algebras. And modularity of these two vertex algebras gives us a suitable modularity of characters and important Fiorentini formula for these guys. So this is a historical motivation to introduce inverse Hamiltonian reductions. And why don't we, unify this original motivations and our iterated reduction conjecture of W algebras in general. So this is a reminder for the what kind of rational W algebra we get. So they're coming from admissible levels, but we need to tune up suitable partitions, choice of nilpotent element to get W algebras. But we can always find one such a nilpotent element for all admissible levels. And if we think about it and write down all the partitions and relating the Young tableau by using iterated reductions, we end up with such a nice partitions by starting with a hook type BRC reductions. So what we should do next is that using this relation between hook type W algebra reductions coming from waves of W algebras proposed by Prochazka and Lapchuk to relate had a larger representation category of affine Katsumori or intermediate W algebras solely by the nice behaving W algebras. So waves of W algebra has a huge applications in the representation theory of W algebras. This is the phrase that I wanted to say today. Thank you very much.
Question four. Can I ask you one? I want to ask you a question about the kernel, the convolution kernel you use. In the case when m is equal to 1,
yep.
That kernel kind of is like it's a free field algebra times Heisenberg.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we modulus for that? It's just Heisenberg modulus.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can understand how like that really doesn't change the category much.
Mm-hmm.
In general, so for your general kernel, is the category module for that kernel, is that still also a very simple category?
Oh, no, actually. And one thing what I can say just now is that representations of chiral differential operator has a huge representations. We can associate arbitrary D modules over G. We get one modulus. And so, but our, what to say? So our representation category, we choose restrict ourselves so that this does not give any effect on it. And so if we start with our larger category, we should have still certain correspondence, but it's not coming from shifted CDO itself, but D modules for them. This is a very challenging problem, and this is another thing to do in the next step. Thank you.
Any other questions? And if not, let's thank the speaker.
Thank you.